Welcome to the Debate at GO8 podcast series exploring issues and research affecting the Group of Eight universities, Australia's economy and our society. My name's Ron Candelars. I'm a freelance journalist and producer, and throughout this series we've been canvassing a range of topics touching upon the work of Australia's leading research-intensive universities. They include the Australian National University, Monash University, UNSW Sydney, the Universities of Adelaide, Melbourne, Sydney, Queensland and Western Australia. Recently, the GO8 received an urgent request for assistance from the National COVID Task Force and is well placed to help in the delivery of vaccination programs around the country. In the pod booth with me is Vicky Thompson, CEO of the Group of Eight Universities, and she's here to update us on the ongoing role the GO8 is playing in the fight against the pandemic. Well, firstly, Vicky Thompson, the GO8 was asked to assist with the vaccination rollout several months ago at the height of the COVID-19 pandemic. Let's go back to that time, firstly, to get an understanding of the assistance that the GO8's provided so far.
So really in two ways, through our research and through boots on the ground, through our students, whether it's medical students or our allied health students. So they're our pharmacy students, our physiotherapists, our nurses, et cetera, our nursing students, et cetera. And so if we just look at the student side of it, first of all, right throughout this pandemic, we've had senior and final year students involved in everything from routine aspects of care in hospital wards, in outpatient settings, et cetera. And by doing that, they've been able to relieve some of the pressure off of doctors who needed to be at the front line. So we've really been providing some relief in that way. We've also been involved in contact tracing. So many of our students were involved in those, particularly in New South Wales and Victoria, in that contact tracing. We've really been part of that surge workforce, particularly in New South Wales. New South Wales government adopted the UNSW's, one of our universities, vaccination training programs so that we could, you know, that could be rolled out in terms of vaccination. And as I said, contact tracing, and of course, on the research side, and this is ongoing because we are the research intensive universities, we've been heavily involved and will continue to be engaged in the development of mRNA vaccines. And of course, you know, we've got various variants. We've got the Delta variant now. So we're now working on vaccines that are homegrown and that can look at, you know, how we manage some of those variants that will inevitably come through as we start to open up, which we are now. So research and boots on the ground, probably the best way to describe it, Ron.
So more recently, you've had this meeting with the director of the National COVID Task Force and the Task Force Industry Liaison Cell to determine the support that you can provide now. What have you been asked to provide now?
So we had already been working with the federal government's Industry Liaison Cell, which is within the Department of Health, and their prime purpose is essentially to get the vaccination rollout happening. And you'll remember when we talked previously, the issue sort of probably back in August, September, so actually not that long ago, was supply. Mm-hmm. And the federal government has spent something like $8 billion on that part of the challenge. Supply is not an issue now. So the issue now is, how do we actually get vaccines out into the community? And of course, each state has adopted particular programs and ways to do that. We've got the Doherty Institute, which is attached to the University of Melbourne, which has basically said, you know, at 80% vaccination, we can start to open up. And whilst that's happening across the board, if you like, the federal government and the industry liaison cell have 30 local government areas around Australia that they are very concerned about, and very concerned that they won't actually meet that target. And not surprisingly, they are invariably in regional and remote areas. There are three of those areas in South Australia. There's one in the Northern Territory, and then the remainder are in Queensland and Western Australia. And so some of them are suburban, of course, but particularly if you look at WA, for example, they're in those hard-to-reach communities, Karratha, you know, way up north. So they've come to us and said, how can you help us with that in terms of getting into those communities, not just to actually vaccinate people, but to, there has been a lot of misinformation in many different communities. There are challenges with non-English speaking background communities. There are challenges in Indigenous communities. And there's also, of course, vaccine hesitancy. And so what can we do to help in terms of, yes, vaccinations, but also that communications piece, if you like. So there's that bit. The second bit is actually what can we do on campus with our students. Now, we've got a really good rate of vaccination by our students and staff, and I can talk to those sort of statistics in a moment. But there is still some vaccine hesitancy, and I emphasise hesitancy, not anti-vaccination sentiment, mm-hmm. particularly from students who right now, as we are recording this around Australia, many of them are doing exams. Mm. And quite rightly, they're being quite rational and saying, well, I don't really want to have a vaccination before my exam. I've heard there's all these side effects. So what we're doing there is saying, okay, if you're sitting in South Australia at the Wavell Showgrounds or in one of those big examination centres, when you finish your final exam with that great relief, grab a vaccination on your way out, and you know, do your sort of duty.
What a relief, having finished the exam and then got
and then go
out
and have a needle.
Yeah.
But that's the sort of thing they've asked us to do. The other thing they've asked us to do is to look at how can we get some of our students that people can relate to talk to those who are hesitant for other reasons. Mm-hmm. So what we've found is that, or at least what we've been advised, is that most people who are vaccine hesitant are hesitant because, well, they've just got lots of questions and there is a lot of misinformation, as we know, on social media, et cetera. So what happens is people go for their vaccination and they want to sit down with their GP, which they've been advised to do, but those consultations could be like an hour. Well, the GP doesn't have an hour to sit down with somebody and say, these are the reasons and, you know, this is why you should have it. So one of the things that they suggested to us was, could we get our medical students to be in those centres and provide that preliminary advice, if you like? They've got the talking points. We accept that, of course, it's advice, not medical advice. Mm-hmm. They're not able to give that, but they can at least do the talking points. So that by the time they get to the GP, their fears may be allayed. I'm happy to have the vaccination and off we go. So there's a few layers of things that we're
actually
doing.
So it frees up a lot of resources within the health system more generally.
A lot of resources, and that this is where there's a lot of pressure points on our health system all over Australia at the moment, and that has been the big concern amongst our state health departments in terms of how we're going to manage as we open up. And of course, one defence is vaccination, and it's been drummed into us. But of course, people have quite rational reasons for being hesitant, and the federal government advice is seek advice from your doctor. Mm-hmm. And so people are following that advice, but it's taking a lot of time. And if we've got final year medical students who are able to provide that level of comfort, we can, you know, and sound advice, we can do that. Similarly, if we've got Indigenous medical students that we can send into Indigenous communities. So let's look at the University of Western Australia. They have 11 rural health clinics throughout that great big state of WA. And they are already out there doing clinical placements, et cetera. So there's a facility there.
So they have campus facilities in
some
of these
places.
They're in
rural health clinics, and we send out our students as part of their degrees to spend time in these remote and rural areas. If as part of that, they can also be part of a workforce in terms of the actual vaccinations, but also in just providing some of that information and level of comfort, particularly in some of those hard-to-reach Indigenous communities where we have heard there's been many news reports where, you know, there is a lot of misinformation going into those communities and they are our most vulnerable community. And I do know that that is something that federal and state governments are particularly concerned about, that if COVID gets into our Indigenous communities, it will be a crisis situation for those communities.
The fact that the task force has approached you, suggests that the GO8 has done a pretty good job on its own campuses. What sort of vaccination rates are you seeing on GO8 universities?
Really high.
Yep.
So amongst our health students, not surprisingly, it's near 100% because, frankly, if you want to be a health student, you want to work in some of these, you know, clinics and in our hospitals, then it's mandatory you have to be vaccinated. But there's been no issues in terms of forcing people to. Also very high for our onshore international students. And this is another important point that the federal government industry liaison Cell spoke to us about. Some international students who are onshore and have been here throughout COVID may feel because they don't have access to a Medicare card that then they can't actually be vaccinated. So what our universities have done in different ways. So, for example, at the University of Sydney, Not only have they offered vaccinations to all of their staff and their families, but if they've got international students who want a vaccination, they've put them on the bus and they've sent them to Homebush so that they can be vaccinated. The University of Western Australia is offering vaccinations free of charge to all students, regardless of whether you're international or not. So the data from our perspective is, I think at one of our universities, Sydney is reporting 94% of their student cohort are fully vaccinated. Again, this is obviously New South Wales and Victoria have really borne the brunt of the COVID pandemic, as we know. But our students and staff have literally rolled up their sleeves and have been quite happy to be vaccinated. We've made it easy too. We've put vaccination hubs on campus. If you think about Monash University, it's co-located with a hospital, so it's very easy to do that. And that's similar with many of our other the other eight universities.
So do you think the track record that the GO8 universities had in terms of vaccinations on campus is part of the reason why they've come to you with that sort of track record and know that you can deliver when it comes to spreading the vaccination message and the rollout more generally across the nation?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons, Ron. First of all, we're walking the talk. Mm-hmm. So we are ensuring that our students and staff have access to a vaccine, and we're making it as easy as possible. And I do recall in the early discussions with the industry liaison cell, part of the issue was you have to make it easy. If people have to take an hour off to drive somewhere to have a vaccine, sit there for 15 minutes. So employers had to make that easy for their employees. And we're big employers, of course. We have 50,000 staff. So we've done that. So I think they've seen that we've walked the talk. But I think the really the critical thing is that we have a ready workforce, if you like. You know, it's our students, our medical students, who will become the doctors of tomorrow. The federal government is looking at how we fast track in a safe way, you know, registration for nursing staff and for doctors, et cetera, so that we can get those final year students in situ into hospitals. Because essentially now for coming up to, 21, 20, nearly 2 years, we've had a really stretched medical workforce anyway. And so if we can provide that respite and that expertise, so I think there's a couple of things. Yes, we are making sure that we're doing the right thing as universities, and all universities are doing that across Australia. But because we have the deep expertise with our medical students, and we're everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, we're not just sitting at, you know, at Randwick where UNSW is. We're not just at St. Lucia where the University of Queensland is. Two of the areas of concern for the federal government is in the Lockyer Valley, for example, in Queensland, just out of Brisbane. UQ has a campus there. So if we're not there in bricks and mortar, we're there with our rural medical health clinics, and we can get people out all over Australia, wherever that might be. And so I think from the federal government's perspective, it's kind of a one-stop shop. They can come to us and go, okay, we need some help. What's our bit? I mean, the state governments are doing great jobs. Everyone's playing their bit. I'm not sitting here saying we're the answer to everything, but it's a good job that we're actually doing with our students.
Do you think that's part of the reason why they've asked you to be involved in this particular program relating to these 30 LGAs, local government association areas, because these are some of the more intractable areas to get vaccinations done, and it's harder in some of these areas? And because you have facilities in a lot of these areas, that's why you've been called upon to do that?
In some cases, that is true. And I would say that's particularly the case in Western Australia, where we've got that vast footprint of rural medical clinics. In South Australia, it's slightly different because those areas are in Murray Bridge and the city of Playford and Salisbury. So that's sort of, I mean, Murray Bridge is almost an outer urban area now. So it's easier for us to provide advice and provide students who can be in those areas. The other thing that we've done is we have very good communication tools at our universities. And so all of our universities, for their own constituencies, rolled out pretty extensive communications campaigns onto their campuses. And so what we have done is said to the federal government's industry liaison cell, kind of an odd name, you know, we can provide you with some of those communication tools that we've used. They've got a lot of communication tools as well, because as you know, you're in the communications business. This is exactly what we're doing now. It's often if you can just sit down with somebody and explain to them the benefits and in an honest way, most people are going, okay, yep, I think I'll do it. It's that time component of doing that. So I think the Group of Eight's been well placed in terms of our universities with a good track record in those public information campaigns to get to those people.
How are students and staff from the GIA universities assisting in the vaccination rollout for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people? Because I know that I understand the Adelaide University has been involved in a South Australian government initiative. Can you talk to that?
They have, and all of our universities have, but I know particularly in South Australia, we've had 50 students have gone through a South Australian government training program, and those students have then been deployed into those regions to assist with really, again, the communication aspect of working with Indigenous communities, because there has been, as I said, a significant misinformation campaign by some segments of the community into those areas. And, you know, this is not just me saying that. We've had a lot of Indigenous leaders and elders who are quite concerned and have been quite public about that. And so where we can send out students into those areas who can do that in a a sensitive way and in a way that our Indigenous communities can relate to, we've certainly done that. And that is also happening in other states, but particularly in South Australia, when you think about the Pitjantjatjara lands, which is a very remote area of this state, Western Australia, I've talked about Karratha and the sort of Port Hedland area. And then, I mean, they're the big sort of cities, if you like, up there, but then you've got the Indigenous communities which sort of are attached to that, which could be another 400 or 500 kilometres away. So it's getting people out there to sit down with these communities and just explain to them really the benefit for their communities in having a vaccination. And so we wouldn't send students out cold. They need that training. And so the South Australian Government and Adelaide University certainly teamed up for that. And I know that's happening in other states as well.
The other thing that strikes me too is that a lot of these students will have received a lot of skill, you know, and preparation, having worked in pop-up sites, vaccination hubs, that sort of stuff. Over a period of months, there's a skill space developing too, isn't there? And you've been quite nifty in the way that you've got the message out, you know, different ways to get that advice out there.
This is just such a great opportunity for our medical students because they are living in a real life crisis period. Mm. And, you know, I think we've got to be careful as a community that as we open up, that we don't have a level of complacency that, oh, everything's okay now. It's not. And we know that, you know, if we look at, for example, in Europe, you know, cases are still on the increase. There are various variants coming through. So our students have had to learn to be quite nimble in the way that they operate. And they've also had this incredible experience that they've had to deal with in real time, as opposed to a sort of a laboratory situation or a clinical situation, which is kind of manufactured.
Yeah, this is practical experience in a pandemic.
Absolutely. And no one would wish that, and we would hope that that wasn't the case. But you can imagine that this will set them up very well as they enter into their medical careers proper in the coming years. I mean, there's a whole nother podcast about the strains on the medical workforce, I have to say, because our medical workforce who've been on the front line, and I'm not just talking doctors here, whether it's paramedics, whether it's nursing staff, mental health experts, such a range of people have had to be engaged. The complacency I talk about is this doesn't just end when suddenly a state opens up. We've still got a ways to go.
Yeah.
And that's why we're doing the research to keep developing these vaccines, which will be able to deal with the variants. But we've got a long way to go in this. And so.
And you look at institutes like the Doherty Institute will come into its own big time when it comes to.
Yeah, it will, because we have to keep doing.
The mathematics of a pandemic. Yeah.
We have to keep doing the modelling because the modelling is not a fixed. It's a fixed point in time, but it what was relevant 6 months ago might not be relevant when we're sitting here in March 2022 and we don't know what the situation will be over summer. What we hope is, though, that through the efforts and the assistance that we can provide in our small way, we can get those vaccination rates up and we will just about be ready for booster shots soon. So, you know, it's a rolling program.
Roll out the students again and the medical staff. Yeah.
Exactly.
How have the universities and students responded to the latest call up by the task force? Because, you could say that it signals a new role for universities in society, or is this type of support and assistance always been a part of what the unis have done, but we just haven't known it?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit business as usual, putting aside it is a pandemic, which isn't business as usual. But what we do find in various ways, our universities, we do so much and we're so ingrained in our communities that we are often the first port of call for many things, whether it's advice, whether it's research. In this case, obviously, we're talking about something that is, you know, alive and well right here, right now. And our students and our universities have responded as they always have. We're here to help. What can we do? So as soon as we get that call, which we did from the industry liaison cell, my job really is a very simple one. My job is just to put the jigsaw together and put people in touch with each other. And that's a great source of pride for me that I can be that front door to this vast array of expertise that we have sitting behind us in those 8 research intensive universities. And, you know, literally, I think it was within about 48 hours, we had all of the deans of the deans of medical faculties across our 8 universities and all of the people that are dealing with the pop-ups and et cetera in those universities on a Zoom meeting. Okay, what can we do? And then it sort of breaks out. So obviously, because the issues are in Queensland, Western Australia and South Australia that have been identified to us.
These are the ones that
these
really
are the ones
that
the federal government's really concerned about. Then we can say, okay, well, we'll help you. We'll connect you with the UWA and then we'll kind of pull that together. So in many ways, I am but a bit player in this. It's that we can tap into that expertise. And at no point do our students or staff say, no, there's nothing we can do. You know, we will find ways that we can actually assist because that's just what we do. We're part of the community. We're in the solutions business. We're here to help government. And this is a national effort, and it's a national effort that we're very proud to be part of.
And it must have been a wonderful moment to be asked. I mean, you know, to know that you're playing, that the universities are playing, the GO8 universities, particularly such a specific role, a powerful role at such an important time.
Yeah, and I think what this has done is shone a light on what capacity we do have in our universities. And I think, you know, we made the first approach to the industry liaison cell way back when it first started. Just to say, and to Minister Hunt, just to say, look, we're here. This is what we can do. I'm sure there's things we can do we don't know yet, but let us know. And that started the ball rolling. I think that, to your point, it's often not even recognised what we can and can't do, or that we have these medical students that can actually go out into the workforce, relieve the medical workforce that we've got now. So, you know, in this area where we've got these 30 LGA areas of concern, you know, I'd like to be able to see that, you know, if we're talking in January, they've got to that 80%. Some of these LGAs are a long way off that. So there's a lot of work to be done, and they are our most vulnerable communities in the main. And so that's where it's all in all of our interests, actually, to ensure that we do get those vaccination rates up.
It's great to see the GO8 universities playing such a key role at such an important time. We'll have to leave it there.
Thanks, Ron.
Thanks for your company today. If you'd like more information about the issues raised in this podcast or other related topics, please visit our website at go8.edu.au. And a quick reminder that you can always tune into the debate at GO8 on Spotify, Google, Apple, or YouTube. Bye for now.